That's beautiful. As I became still and meditated on our talk today, it became clear to me to look at two aspects of this spiritual concept, the healer within. The first aspect is to be willing. To be willing to be healed ourselves. To be willing to do our own internal work. To clear our error thinking. To help ourselves come into a spiritual state of health and wholeness. A spiritual state of health and wholeness. And the second aspect of the healer within is to claim our role as a spiritual healer, to be willing to do what it is ours to do, to hold to and act in the consciousness of love and compassion, to be a channel of healing for others and for our world. And I was so excited when I had heard the Green Spirit Band had chosen the song Empty Hands for one of our songs today. We know we exchange emails about topics, and I thought, wow, what a perfect image to put on our cover of our brochure, our bulletin today. Empty hands. To be willing to be healed, we need to empty our hands of those attachments we have to some things in the past. To be willing to be that presence of love and compassion in the world, sometimes we need to empty our hands of attachments and what we thought was ours to do. First and foremost, we are spiritual beings having a human experience. I know that at the depth of my being. And sometimes on this human journey, we want to equate the word healing with the word cure. My belief is we may not necessarily be cured of a physical challenge, but we can certainly be spiritually healed of whatever error thinking we came into this world with or acquired along our journey so far in this life. You know, sometimes we see our brothers and sisters that are experiencing physical challenges or life challenges and mistakenly judge that they are in need of healing. It is not for us to say what healing is for a particular person. We are each on our own journey. A little over 7 trillion different journeys if you just count the people on the planet right at this moment. As children of God, there is an innate wisdom within each of us. Trust that wisdom to know when we set an intention to be spiritually healed, that the right and perfect awareness will come to us. Some call that the first requirement, faith. For one person, that awareness may guide them to a change in a behavior or a thought pattern. For someone else, it may direct them to a path of spiritual study or to a particular teacher or to that book that just seems to leap off the shelf at the bookstore or the library when you walk by. And as children of God, I believe that the greatest shift towards our own spiritual healing occurs when we experience, now not just know about, but when we experience that inner revelation of our divinity within, that experience of our Christ consciousness. As Emily Cady says in Lessons in Truth, we must drop the idea that this place of realization of our divinity can be given to us by any human being. No one can come into it from the outside. This is a personal journey. We don't need to search here and there for that ultimate realization of our Christ consciousness. We search within. Now, science tells us how personal this journey can be. Dr. Bruce Lipton, scientist and author in his groundbreaking work, The Biology of Belief, admits that he previously taught the conventional dogma that our genes were programs that controlled our life. But in his study of the new field of epigenetics, he found that genes are actually controlled by our environment, or the organism's perception of the environment. The environment he writes about is not only the nutrition, exercise, the atmosphere that impacts our cells. He found that this environment is also our field of beliefs. Since the environment of our beliefs is impacting the 50 trillion cells or so that make up each one of us right at this moment, then it is very important for us to keep the environment of our cells and the environment of our beliefs about these cells as healthy as possible. In his article, The Law of Mind Action, Unity Minister and Dean of Spiritual Education and Enrichment at Unity Institute, Reverend Dr. Paul Hasselbeck writes, if we think sad thoughts, we experience sadness. If we think happy thoughts, we experience happiness. It's as simple as that. There is now proof that our minds are hardwired to our bodies. Our thoughts produce chemicals in our body as a result of each of these thoughts. Positive thoughts give rise to health-supporting chemicals, while negative thoughts give rise to harmful chemicals. Our thoughts can depress our immune system. So, he writes, it is important to watch the thoughts we hold in our minds and change them when they do not reflect what we want to experience. Now, I want to be really clear here that Reverend Paul did not say to not experience our authentic feelings. He did not say that. As Ecclesiastes 3 tells us, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. There are times when we are authentically sad, and there are times when we are authentically happy. Reverend Paul is inviting us just to become aware of our thoughts. He goes on to reflect that although we may not cause or have control over all the events in our lives, we certainly do have control over our experience of those events. Our experience of an event has to do with our ideas, thoughts, beliefs, and attitudes we hold about the event, rather than the event itself. Events themselves do not directly cause our inner experience, or we would all have the exact same experience of a movie or a meal or today's Sunday lesson. It is how we hold beliefs and attitudes and thoughts about the event that impact us. Dr. Kat Saunders, a counselor and consultant, has this reflection to guide us in the event that our cells are manifesting a physical challenge. She writes, most importantly, have compassion for our body. Health has less to do with the state of our body and more to do with the quality of our experience with whatever is happening to us. It has more to do with the quality of our relationship with whatever is happening to us, for us, within us. The following story is a perfect example. It can be found in Kitchen Table Wisdom. It's called The Broken Vase by Rachel Naomi Remen. She had a man in her practice with osteogenic sarcoma of the leg, which was removed at the hip in order to save his life. She met him when he was 24 years old, and she had started to work with him, and he was so angry. He was angry and bitter, had a deep sense of injustice and deep hatred for all the well people in the world, because it seemed so unfair to him that he had suffered this terrible loss in his life. Well, after working together for several years, what she noticed was there was a profound shift within him. He began coming out of himself. He began visiting other people in the hospital, people who had suffered severe physical losses like him. One time, he visited a young woman about his same age, and she had just had both breasts removed and was very despondent. The nurses had turned the radio on in her room just to provide some music, and he tried to go in and cheer her up, and he just couldn't get her to cheer up. So finally, what he did was he took the radio and strapped it onto himself and took off his prosthetic leg and hopped around the room just to get her going, and he caught her attention. And she said to him, "If you can dance and hop, I can sing." As we go through our journey and we come into that place of healing, we not only heal ourselves, we help to heal others around us. 2 years later, this young man and his therapist were getting to the end of their relationship, and she brought out some pictures that he had drawn in the very beginning when she had asked him to draw a picture of his body. And what he drew was a vase. And he had a black crayon, and he drew over and over and over this huge crack in the vase. And as he looked at it now, he said to her, "This picture isn't quite finished." So she handed him the box of crayons, and he took the yellow crayon, and all down the line, the crack, he drew streams of yellow. And he said, "You see here, this is where the light comes through." What had been such a tragedy to him that he had framed as in a place of anger was now a place of light, a place where he could relate to people that other people, the nurses, couldn't relate to. He was the healer. He had been healed. And that brings us to the second aspect of the healer within. It is about us, each of us, claiming our role as a spiritual healer, to be willing to do what is ours to do, to hold to and act in a consciousness of love and compassion, a channel of healing for others and the world. In Unity's text of metaphysical terms called the Revealing Word, a natural healer is described as this: one who has great compassion and yearning to help humanity out of its errors and suffering. When one enters this state of consciousness, a healing virtue pours out that changes all discord to harmony. A healing virtue pours out that changes all discord to harmony. I have been so privileged as I've been here to hear some of your individual stories, to hear about your journey. And this is what we're about, being that presence of love and compassion, that healing energy in the world. We each can claim and bring forth that healer within us. It transforms ourselves and it transforms the world. In his book, The Good Heart, His Holiness the Dalai Lama reflects on Jesus' instructions to the disciples in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9, verses 1 through 6. Today, I'm just going to read verses 1 and 2. And he writes, "Then Jesus called the 12 together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal." The Dalai Lama reflects that these passages point to a very important spiritual ideal that is common to all religions. That is, that a spiritual practitioner who has gained a certain degree of realization, again, not knowing, but a certain degree of realization as a result of his or her long practice, should not rest content. Instead, this practitioner should set out and attempt to communicate it to others so that they too can share in the experience. Since the essence of all spiritual practice is the practice of love, compassion, and tolerance, once you have found a profound experience of these, he writes, it is natural that you should wish to share it with others. Sometimes we fail to claim our personal role as a healer, don't we? Because we limit that title to certain professions. But I believe our role as healers can show up in many different ways. A few examples that came to mind as I was working through this was environmental healers. Certainly right here in Lawrence, we have the Lawrence Sustainability Network, the Friends of the Call. Societal healers. Those people that, God bless them, they're willing to engage in that political arena. To engage in those conversations and enact legislation against discrimination and injustice. Relationship healers, a group that we just supported with our donations last month, the Willow Domestic Violence Center. Anyone that works with and supports that organization, relationship healers are what they're about. And body energy healers, so much we've learned in this life, you know, about Reiki and healing touch, all those practitioners, and spiritual healers. Spiritual healers, that is you. That is all of us at Unity Church of Lawrence. As the Dalai Lama pointed out, the essence of all spiritual practice is the practice of love, compassion, and tolerance. Make no mistake, you are a spiritual healer when you are showing up as love, compassion, and tolerance. Make no mistake, you are a spiritual healer when you are carrying out the mission and vision of this community as you share love, build bridges of understanding, and inspire transformation. That's what we declare every week for ourselves. And in conclusion, the healer within each of us, it is there. Be willing to become whole. Embrace our Christ consciousness and let our divine love, light, and compassion flow out through those cracks in our vases, blessing this human journey. God bless. So I invite the Green Spirit Band to come forward. And we're going to go into a time of meditation. They've chosen a wonderful song to start us into that.